Well, it's great to be back, isn't it? What a couple of a month or so off. Hope you've had a nice summer. What I wanted to look at this term, I feel quite excited about it, is Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is tucked away in the Old Testament, kind of rather embarrassingly. I was at a prayer meeting the other day and we were looking at Nehemiah and I said, oh yeah, I am doing it. I'd prepared a whole sermon series on Nehemiah, but I could not find Nehemiah. I think I'd dropped it out of my Bible. But it's kind of next to Ezra, near Kings and 2 Chronicles, that end. But it's not, yeah, anyway, it is in there if you're struggling. It's an amazing, amazing book about a guy called Nehemiah, no surprise there. And how his city, Jerusalem, the walls of Jerusalem, have been broken down. And he gets this vision and desire to go and rebuild. And he doesn't do it on his own. He does it as a community. He inspires a whole community to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And I think that it has the book of Nehemiah has so much to say to us as a people who would want to experience God's restoration and rebuilding in our own lives, but also to be a people who rebuild and restore the world around us. So I'm really excited about this series. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah up until November. So buckle up. I don't know why I said that. Okay, so Nehemiah 1. Here we go. I'm going to read it to you. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah. Another warning here. There are lots of names in this book, so bear with us. In the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, when I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile and also about Jerusalem. They said to me, those who survived the exile are back in the province or are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, O Lord, God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying praying before you day and night. Your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you are exiled people, are at the furthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand, O Lord. Let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king. So Nehemiah, we find Nehemiah. He's a Jew, and his family has been exiled from Jerusalem, from Israel, and he is serving the Persian king in the Persian Empire. And he is a cupbearer. So he gets to give the king wine, which actually was a really amazing position in the Persian court, because it gave him privilege, Nehemiah privilege, to be in the to be daily in the king's presence, and it gave him opportunity to ask for favor. And while he's in this place, Nehemiah receives news of his people and his city, Jerusalem, and how the walls have been burnt, have been broken down, and the gates burned. And he is utterly broken by that news. And with that news, he sort of comes before God, and he prays, and he cries out to God. And I just want to pick out a few things that I think are going to be helpful for us in thinking about being a community that is redeemed and a community that rebuilds. So that's where we're going. The first thing I love about this, and I don't know how deep you're supposed to go when you look at these things, whether I'm just kind of making it up and it just sounds good or whatever, but I'm going to go for it. So I love the fact that Nehemiah was daily in the king's presence. That's where it all began. He was daily in the king's presence. And I think for us, being a community that knows that we're redeemed, and a community that has a heart to restore and rebuild, that's where we need to be also. Daily in the king's presence. Just daily in God's presence. Because it's in that place we get our heart broken for the things that break his heart. And it's in that place we have eyes to see what he sees. And I think that's what happens with Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets this news of his hometown, the walls broken down, and it breaks his heart. And he cries to God, and he prays for forgiveness. He confesses his sins. He remembers the promise of God. And he also remembers that his God is a redeeming God. He says, "They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand." Nehemiah remembers that God is a redeemer, that he is a rebuilder, which I think is really important. Because he got the news that was devastating. He got the news of woe, but he didn't stop there. You know, if we look around at our world, we can get pretty upset because there's a lot of brokenness. We don't really have to go very far to find brokenness. You probably don't have to go very far just in your own life, seeing there's, we all, don't we, have bits of our lives that are broken. And then just in our community and in our lives, we see brokenness. But what's great about Nehemiah is that, yes, his heart was broken for the brokenness, but it didn't stop there. He remembered that his God was a redeeming God, and that his God is a builder, a rebuilder. And so, in this place of brokenness, he has eyes to see what God might want to do. In the midst of the brokenness, he sees the potential of a rebuilt wall. And that's seeing like God sees. We might see the brokenness, but when we look like God, we see the restoration as well. We see the redemption. we see that actually there's hope. And I think that's perhaps the first powerful message we get from Nehemiah, is that in the presence of God, he's able, yes, to have his heart broken, but he's also able to have his eyes open to see how God sees. Because God always sees with those eyes of redemption. He always sees the potential of his restoration. So Nehemiah, he hears about the broken wall, and his immediate response is, let's rebuild, because he has the heart of God. He has the heart of his redeeming God. And I long for that heart myself, don't you? To be able to look at brokenness, but to see potential, to see restoration, to look beyond the brokenness and see with the eyes of faith, see with God's eyes, healing and hope and restoration. So yeah, that's important. We have a redeeming God. We are a redeemed people. And I guess I've been talking a lot lately about identity. And all of last term, we kind of focused on our individual identity as sons and daughters of God and how restored we are. And I think that's so important that we know individually that when God looks at us, he sees us restored. He sees us pure and holy. He loves us, and he looks at us like that. And I think we need to grasp that for ourselves. But I also think the great thing about Nehemiah is that it's a corporate now. It's now corporate, a corporate identity. We're not just redeemed individually, but we're redeemed as a people. We're restored as a people, as the people of God. We are whole. We are restored by what Christ has done. And that means that we've got really good news to share with the world around us. And that means that as a community, we can encourage one another in knowing our wholeness, our redeemed, restoredness in God, but also to look out and to go and to begin to rebuild those around us. So I was thinking, you know, what does that look like? What does it look like for us to be a people who rebuild, a people who restore, people who have eyes of faith like our God does, who sees potential in brokenness? And I guess the bit of scripture that really jumped out at me while I was preparing is 2 Corinthians 5:11-21, and I'm just going to read it to you. And it's Paul talking about the ministry of reconciliation. I think it has amazing parallels, really, with what Nehemiah did. I think Paul is saying, actually, we've been given a message of amazing hope and a reconciliation to share with this world. So I'm going to read what he says. He says this: since then, we know... So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I think there's some amazing things in here, but I want to look at two things. The first thing is that Paul says, from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And the second thing is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them. I wonder, and this is just a question, I wonder if, as a church, and I mean church, capital C, global, if we've been a little bit guilty of counting men's sins against them when God isn't. And I wonder if, like Paul suggests, we regard no one after the flesh, whether we might see some transformation in people's lives. If we started to see, like Nehemiah, instead of seeing a broken wall, seeing a restored wall. I wonder if our outlook would change, and I wonder if that would change the people we're looking at. Just a thought. I'm going to tell you a story, and I'd just like this not to go on tape, if that's okay.